to Australia now and correspondent Karen Middleton. And some good news today, these restrictions are easing in Melbourne and several of the Australian states are partially easing their border restrictions, Karen. Is this being seen as good progress?
Yes, Catherine, good morning to you. It's you know, incremental progress, but people are seizing that as a sign that things are on the improve, certainly in Victoria and around the country where things have been better than that for some time. As you say, some of the restrictions that they were really very harsh restrictions in Melbourne were eased slightly from the weekend. Some of those movement restrictions on people from 5 a.m. Monday, the nighttime curfew that was in place in Melbourne has been lifted. So people can move around at night now, although you still can't go terribly far. I think you're still restricted to 5 kilometre radius from your home unless there's an official reason that you've got exemption to move around. But you can meet with people from another household in very small numbers. And people are going back to work. The school children, junior school, primary school, kindergarten and the like will go back to school from the 12th of October in classes. So that's a good sign. And also the internal state borders are starting to ease up. We in Canberra are being rewarded for our efforts in not having any community transmission. In fact, no sign of the virus for some weeks now. We're allowed to fly to Adelaide, woohoo, and we're allowed to fly to Queensland as long as we fly directly there without having to quarantine. So that's all exciting. And time for the school holidays where people can go on holidays now. And Western Australia has also announced easing some restrictions soon for people from New South Wales and Victoria the Victorians won't have to go into hotel quarantine. They'll still have to quarantine if they are allowed in, but only they can quarantine at home provided they've got an arrangement in place to do that. If there's a house they can go to, and they have to download an app that will monitor them rather than having police check on them. And there is talk of this bubble with you guys as well again coming up. It keeps coming up and then bubbling up and then disappearing again. I know your Prime Minister has got some fairly strict conditions on how that would operate, which makes me wonder, it might be a while before Canberrans can get across there because we don't have we're sort of plonked in the middle of New South Wales here in the Australian Capital Territory. And sometimes we're dragged down by Sydney's infection rates and therefore not allowed to go anywhere. So we'll see if that comes about, Catherine, but it'd be nice to be able to pop across the ditch
wouldn't
and
it
visit.
Be? Wouldn't it be? It's never felt so. It's never felt so precious. There have been some political consequences, however, over the Melbourne outbreak. And I know the Health Minister's gone, I think, and pressure also on the Premier. Yeah. And so, is it the Premier that's the title, isn't it? State Premier. Yeah.
That's correct. Yes. So, we have seen a political scalp there in the last week or so. There's been a dispute over how the hotel quarantine arrangements were monitored and were come up with in the beginning. Nobody seems to know whose idea it was to use private security guards rather than accept an offer of the Australian Defence Force or use the police. It's quite a surprise, I have to say, that after all this time, weeks and weeks since that decision pardon me, was made, nobody in the state government seems to know who made it. And I think the final straw in terms of the fate of the Health Minister, Jenny Markakos, was late last week when the Premier appeared at an inquiry that's being held into this matter, Premier Daniel Andrews, and he was asked if he knew. He repeated that he still didn't know, which seems extraordinary. But he intimated that he held the Health Minister frog in the throat this morning. Health Minister responsible. Yeah, held the Health Minister responsible. And then she resigned within 24 hours of that. She said she didn't take the blame for it. She thought it was unreasonable and that responsibility was shared. But that with the Premier no longer having confidence in her, it was sort of clear she couldn't continue. So she not only resigned from her ministry, she resigned from the Parliament. And that's having a knock-on effect within the Labor Party and the Labor government, his government, Daniel Andrews, in the state of Victoria. So, political ructions now emerging, and we're sort of seeing tensions between the state and federal government, state governments across Australia and the territory governments and the federal government emerging about the way these things are being handled. There was sort of sweetness and light for a while, and they were all working well together, but that's fractured now, and we're seeing a lot of political sniping back and forth over those borders and the quarantine and a number of other things. So I guess that happens.
What's happening on the waterfront, Karen? There's a dispute happening here?
Yes, this problem in Sydney was between the Maritime Union of Australia and the stevedore and company, Patrick. They've got history. Back in 1998, there was a big dispute where we saw dogs on the waterfront, where Patrick moved in and sacked their unionised workforce and sought to replace them with contractors to try and break the unions. They ended up in court and lost the court battle, but did sit down to negotiate an outcome and sort of got some of what they wanted in the end about reducing the workforce and the like. Well, there's another dispute here. This is a pay dispute, and the Maritime Union is demanding 6% pay rise, annual pay rise, which is an awful lot, I have to say, in the current circumstances where we're deep in a recession. They say that's an ambit claim, and they'll end up going for more like 2.5%, but even that's a lot when people are losing a lot of their jobs. The Prime Minister's weighed into it and said it's an extortionate bid. The union is sort of, it's got to go slow on unloading ships. Patrick Stevedore says there's some 38 ships offshore that can't be unloaded. It's costing them congestion fees and they're going to have to divert them to other ports. And the government is saying that there's essential equipment and goods on board that need to be offloaded. So far, the union is standing firm, demanding pay and conditions improvements. So we'll see where this lands. But in the first instance, it's being diverted to the Fair Work Commission, the umpire, to see what they come up with.
Now, Cardinal Powell, there's yet another chapter to the saga.
He's gone back to Rome. So you remember he was let out of jail. He served 13 months in prison on those child sexual assault charges that were quashed by the High Court. And he's always maintained he was innocent of those charges. And he's gone back to Rome now, ostensibly, it seems, to clear out his apartment, although it's not clear how long he'll be there. He was the third most senior Catholic in the world. He was effectively a treasurer at the Vatican. That job term expired in 2019 and wasn't renewed. He was in the midst of his jail term at that time. We don't know, that there's no suggestion that that job will be rekindled or anything, but it's an interesting coincidence that the man he's described as his nemesis at the Vatican, Cardinal Giovanni Angelo Becci, I can never pronounce his name, Becciui, has been sort of effectively banished from the Vatican under a cloud of accusations of embezzlement. He was resisting some of the reforms that Cardinal Pell was trying to make as treasurer because of allegations of corruption in the Vatican's finances. And he has left his post, and the Pope had said he has no confidence in him. So some people are describing this as a bit of a victory lap for George Pell. There were inquiries from journos as to whether he had to get an exemption to travel, because we've got an outbound travel ban in place for Australians at the moment. You have to apply for exemptions unless you're one of a small group of categories of people that are allowed to go. But we're told that he is part of that group of people who don't have to apply for an exemption because he's going on official Vatican business. And if you're on official business, you're allowed to travel. So
there you go.
Back in the Vatican.
Now, Dean Jones, we've paid extensive tribute to in our sports segment on Friday. It goes back to one of my favourite eras of cricket, a real superstar and a real character of that era. But I would like to spend the last minute talking about Susan Ryan, who's another trailblazer in politics this time, I think, who has just died.
Yes, a couple of sad deaths, as you say. First of all, Dean Jones, and then on the weekend, Susan Ryan, who's a feminist trailblazer in Australia, a former Labor minister in the Hawke government. She was responsible for the Sex Discrimination Act, and she returned to public life in her post-politics life as the Age Discrimination Commissioner, the first Age Discrimination Commissioner, and she stayed in public life. You know, we know a lot of people, as they get to retirement age and past, don't do that, but she was very engaged in politics. I knew her and had a lot of time for her. She was very generous and wise and a lot of good fun, and a lot of people are paying tribute and missing Susan Ryan after her sudden death on Friday.
Aussie politics is always tough. I bet it was tough in the Hawke era for people, you know, as we said, literally trailblazing.
Yeah, she was the only female minister at that point when she was a minister. It certainly was tough. It was a bear pit.
Yeah. Hey, thanks very much. Karen Middleton in Canberra is our Australia correspondent.